You can be seated, and so good to be with you and to worship at this time. I'm getting text messages from multiple families. They're worshiping at home, so thank you for those messages. This evening, it's been morning all day for me, sort of. We're going to look at Matthew. Seemed like every year we kind of alternate between Luke and Matthew. To look at the account of the birth of Jesus and learn an important name of Jesus. I love the names of Jesus and the names of Jesus found in Isaiah 9:6, like Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Each of those have such rich meaning. They point to the wonder, wisdom, and power of the name of Jesus, as well as the eternal, princely, peaceful nature of His name. There are, of course, many other names of Jesus, like Savior, Christ, Son of God, and Son of Man. But this evening, I thought we would just focus on one name. Typically, we focus on this name at Christmas, the name Emmanuel. Now, we've already read the prophecy in Isaiah 7 that talked about how a son would be born to a virgin. His name would be Emmanuel. Let's read Matthew 1. We're going to begin in verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But he considered these things. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save people from their sin. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Well, Luke's account seems to kind of be told from Mary's perspective. The Matthew account sort of told through Joseph's perspective. And Joseph was troubled. His betrothed was pregnant. And he wasn't sure exactly what to do with that. Was going to quietly divorce her. And then, of course, an angel came and revealed the plan that she was going to be pregnant. She was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And the angel told Joseph what to name the baby. So Jesus was born that first Christmas and was called Emmanuel. What a beautiful name. It means God with us. Spurgeon writes in his Christmas Eve sermon, "Do you know the full meaning of that name, Emmanuel? God with us? No. He who knows it best knows little of it. Alas, he who knows it not is ignorant indeed. So ignorant that his ignorance is not bliss, but damnation." Oh, may God teach you the meaning of that name, Emmanuel, God with us. So, in the next few minutes, I'd like to just take those three words and think about what Emmanuel means. Emmanuel means, first, that Jesus is God. That first Christmas, God the Son left heaven, was born in a manger in the person of Jesus, and his birth prompted angels to sing, shepherds to leave their flocks and worship, wise men to travel afar and bring gifts to Jesus. Now, the scripture is just full of references to Jesus as God, his deity. Like John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word was with God, separate from God. And the Word was God. So we have the mystery of the Trinity. Shortly after the resurrection in John 20, we have the disciples gathering. And there's one disciple who's not too sure that Jesus is risen. We give him a bad rap. We call him Doubting Thomas. But Jesus appears, and he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." And Thomas answered him, seeing the risen Lord, he says, "My Lord and my God." Hebrews 1:3 says, "He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature." Jesus, the exact imprint of God. "And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited." The New Testament states emphatically that Jesus was God. In fact, Jesus claimed to have authority to forgive sin. Who can do that? He said that he had the right. He was the judge and the giver of eternal life. Only one person can do that. That's God. And in John 10:30, he says, "I and the Father are one." Jesus is saying he is one with God the Father. One point, Philip says, "Jesus, show us the Father." And Jesus says, "Philip, I've been with you all this time. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And even his enemies understood his claims to be God. One day in John 8, Jesus was talking to the Jewish leaders. And Jesus told them there was a day when Abraham was going to see him and rejoice. And they said, "Well, you're only 50 years old and you've seen Abraham?" Jesus said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Whoa. And what was the reaction? They picked up stones to stone him because he was claiming to pre-exist Abraham. So let's don't miss that God came in a manger. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote in an Advent book called God in the Manger. "And then just when everything is bearing down on us to such an extent that we can hardly stand it, the Christmas message comes to tell us that all our ideas are wrong and that what we take to be evil and dark is really good and light because it comes from God. Our eyes are at fault and that is all. God is in the manger. Wealth in poverty, light, no evil can befall us. Whatever men may do to us, they cannot but serve the God who secretly revealed as love and rules the world and our lives." Emmanuel means is God. Secondly, Emmanuel means Jesus is God with. Well, life is hard, and this Christmas season seems to be particularly hard. I got the privilege to meet with a family this afternoon whose father just passed. I say privilege. You never want those things to happen, but when you get invited in, you do what you can. Yes, had health issues, developed COVID. It was Monday. For those of you who know Dan De La Cruz. So, life is hard. Now, I'm not trying to be weird, but I looked up the word "with" in the dictionary, and it means accompanied by or in the company of So as I began thinking about it, it was sort of mind-blowing that Jesus would leave heaven to accompany us. That he might be in the company of us. Jesus, who was in perfect fellowship with the Father and the Spirit, came here, took on flesh to accompany us. Christmas is not about God writing a message of hope and love in the sky. It's not about sending Christmas cards to us and saying, Jesus, you know, loves you. Nothing wrong with Christmas cards. Thank you for all the cards I got. Really. But the Lord did so much more. In most religions, God is a philosophy, moral code, or at best detached from its worshipers. But the Bible reminds us who God is. He's Emmanuel, God with, God alongside, God in the company of, God accompanied by. Listen to more scriptures that kind of have this idea. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, came alongside us, lived with us. What an amazing moment in history when Jesus, God the Son, left heaven, took on flesh, and came alongside. And the word dwelt here means to pitch a tent. He literally pitched a tent to live among us. Hebrews 2, verse 14 says, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through his death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. So in other words, he took on flesh that he might experience what we experience and die on a cross for our sins. So I don't know who you think God is tonight or who you think Jesus is. Here's a Chris Tomlin song that I really liked. It says, the title is Who You Are to Me. Some people think you're distant. That's just some words on a page, that you're nothing more than fables handed down along the way. But I've seen you part the waters when no one else could pull me from the deep. That's who you are to me. Some people think that you just live in cathedrals made of stone, but I know you live inside my heart. I know it's your home, and I've seen you in the sunset and in the eyes of a stranger on the street. That's who you are to me. Your amazing, faithful, love's open door. When I'm empty, you fill me with hunger for more. More of your mercy, your goodness, Lord. You're the air that I breathe. That's who you are to me. That's who you are to me. And after his crucifixion and resurrection, he was so concerned to be with us that he said that when he was going to leave, in John 16, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to be with you. Emmanuel means God with. But lastly, let's don't forget, God with us. Emmanuel means God with us. Now, there are 7 billion-ish people on the planet. Apparently, there are 100 million stars in the Milky Way and millions of other galaxies. Just Monday, we all got to see the Christmas star. Some of you weren't that impressed. I was kind of impressed. And those who caught it by telescope or fancy camera, we're very impressed to see those two planets come in alignment and create what it did. When you think about all the things that are going on in the universe and how it all just sustains itself, how God orchestrates everything, sustains it. I'm kind of like the psalmist in Psalm 8 when he says, when I consider, O Lord, the heavens How majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you've set in place, what is man? Who am I that you are mindful of him, that you are mindful of me, the son of man, that you care for him, and yet he is mindful of me. He's mindful of you. He's mindful of us. I could just give you scripture after scripture. Deuteronomy 31 just says to be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. And the reason, I'm not going to read it all, that the children of Israel could be strong and courageous is because God chose them and God was with them. So when we're strong and courageous, it's not because we're just super-duper people. It's because God's with us. Jesus promised to never leave us nor forsake us. Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke to the people. He says, I am with you, declares the Lord. I am with you, declares the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and they worked in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, because God was with them. Because God was with them, he stirred them up to work and serve him. Hebrews 13:5. I don't know if this is appropriate to Christmas or not, but it says, keep your life free from the love of money. I got some really nice gifts. But I'll be honest with you, my best gift was getting to see my grandson. And then the second best gift was getting a photo album of my grandson. And then I did get a cardinal shirt and some other things. Okay, so I'm just telling you the rank of my gifts. I hope my kids are watching. So I don't need anything. But we're told to keep our life free from the love of money, be content with what you have. And you know why? Because Jesus said he would never leave us or forsake you. You can be content because the Lord is with you. You can be free from the love of money and stuff because the Lord is with you. And acknowledging that God is with us this Christmas and into the new year, we can find comfort and encouragement from his presence. Scripture even says in 2 Corinthians, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction, so we're able to comfort others. So at Christmas or any other time of the year, when it's hard or there's affliction or there's loss or there's grief, we have the God of all comfort because God is with us. You think of the planets and the stars and the galaxies and you think about viruses and other things and you're like, what is God that he even thinks about me? Tim Keller writes, the founder of every other major religion said, basically, I'm a prophet who shows you how to find God. Follow me. I will show you how to follow God. Jesus taught, I am God, come to find you. I am God, Jesus says, come to find you. Emmanuel means God with us. One more Chris Tomlin song. In Bethlehem, one holy night, a host of angels filled the sky. They sang to tell the world who waits, our Savior comes this Christmas day. God is with us, Christ our Savior, Jesus our Emmanuel. He shall reign, our King forever, the hope of Israel, the hope of you, the hope of me. And so let's don't forget, Jesus came as Emmanuel, God with us. And we think about Jesus' birth. We want to also think about his purpose. Jesus was born to die. That was his purpose. He came to seek and to save the lost. He took on flesh that he could take on our sin and be nailed to a cruel cross. So, we have a tradition that I don't really like a whole lot. Because it is so exciting to read Scripture, and I don't know if anybody can see me on YouTube or not. Sorry, Kyle. But we have been spending 4 Sundays lighting the candle. It gets exciting because we're building up to Christmas. By the way, Sunday I got another Christmas message, so come Sunday. We're not done celebrating. And it's appropriate because Jesus is the light of the world. It is the darkest time of the year. I think Monday was the darkest day of the whole year. And so Jesus comes at the darkest time, pierces the darkness. He says he's the light of the world. But Isaiah 53, reading from Isaiah 53. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he was born, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And by his wounds, we are healed. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that's led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before his shearers is silent, he opened not his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. It was the will of the Lord to crush him for our sin. So I say I don't like doing that because it's a reminder to me that it's my sin that snuffed out the life of Jesus, who came willingly to die in my place, to die in your place. And to all who would receive him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God. But you have to make that decision for yourself. Jesus died on a cross. He came to take on flesh, to take on your sin, your punishment, my punishment, that you might have light and life. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So this Christmas, I wasn't joking about my best gifts being about my grandson and all that. But there is one gift that tops even grandchildren, and that's saying a lot. That gift is the gift of Jesus. the gift of eternal life. And if you're here tonight and you're wondering why we go through all of this, it's because Jesus came, Emmanuel, God with us, that you might find eternal life and have your sins forgiven, that no matter what comes in this life, you would be right with your Maker, and you would have a place in heaven prepared for you. So if you've not given your heart and life to Christ this Christmas, I pray the Holy Spirit will just agitate you some, convict you, bring you to a saving knowledge and relationship with Jesus. Now, I think we're going to leave the lights on because of the camera. I think that's probably best. Or what do you think we can do, Kyle? Turn them off? Okay, wait. All right, everybody get your candle. Let me get my candle. So, we don't want to leave you, even this Christmas, without reminding you that, yes, Jesus' life, he was born to die, he died on a cross, was buried, but on the third day, go ahead, turn the lights out, fellas. On the third day, he rose again. And then, I can't read it. And then he said something like this. Don't change a thing. He said, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." And so, tonight we'll share the light of Christmas. Jesus is alive, and I'm going to share it with you, and I want you to share it with your neighbor, kind of in a distant way. Merry Christmas.